Well, let's head south now, and horse racing in Tasmania is really on the map in Australia. And there's a bit of a north-south rivalry developing between the two main horses involved. The Devonport Trained Galloper Mystic Journey leads the way and remains one of the favourites for the Cox Plate, which is run at Moonee Valley on Saturday week. Well, the horse from southern Tasmania is making racegoers take notice as well. The Inevitable is now one of the favourites for the Golden Eagle, which will be run at Randwick in a couple of weeks. It comes after his courageous victory in the Silver Eagle at Randwick at the weekend. Scott Brunton trains the Inevitable, and his racing manager Neil Walsh says his home in the south is partly to blame.
Down here at the beautiful Seven Mile Beach, absolutely fantastic property, very unique in the sense that, as you can see, all the horses are actually living on beach land here, so they live out in the yards. It's very peaceful, and the beauty of it is that it's a short 10-15 minute ride, so the horses will ride through that forest you can see there, through trails that have been made by the horses themselves over the past 10-15 years, out onto Seven Mile Beach where we complete their gallop work. And if they head off in the other direction, back over this way, we're off to Five Mile Beach, which is a bay. So they head down there for the recovery work the following day and have a wade in the water off the lead ponies. And, it's just a very, very different way to train racehorses, but obviously working.
And it's probably the best racing swimming pool in Australia.
Correct. Nature at its finest, and the maintenance is great. Mother Nature takes care of all that for us too. So, it is. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it's a real hive of activity here when I got down here. People everywhere, horses everywhere. How many horses? How many people?
80 horses, 20 staff.
Well, it's a pretty big operation, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. No, it's a big operation. Scott employs plenty of people. It's getting to the stage now. Over the past 12 months, the success that the stable's enjoyed, I'd say we've certainly gone up probably 25% in horses and staff, so it's all very exciting, and we're just making the most of it while we can.
Now, what's a typical day for you? What time do you start? Is it not a 4 a.m. start, is it always?
No, it's a beauty here. There's no light, so we can't start before the sun comes up. So, look, we kick off at 7. We can work anywhere up to 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Just depends on the day. So we, ideally, I think most of the staff would say, we aim for a 12 p.m. finish, between 12 and 1. But yeah, we just take it as it comes. We're under no restrictions, which is great.
Now, the feed bill, I wouldn't like to pay that, but where do you get your feed from?
Get our feed from Roberts. So it's locally sourced down the road. Yeah, plenty of that comes in each day, I can tell you.
You don't grow anything on the farm here?
No, we don't. No.
Just trees.
Trees and horses, I think, at the moment.
Now, I've got to ask you the inevitable question.
Yes?
The horse.
Some horse, yeah. No, he's just a... I think the best way to sum him up is he's just a doer. He's everything you throw at him, he just takes in his stride, and he's just got an incredible attitude, a real will to win. And every time we raise the bar, he not only sort of meets it, he jumps it. So if there was a horse you'd like in your corner, it's him.
What did you think when you first saw him?
Look, he's small, there's no doubt, I'd heard that he was small, and I was of the opinion his sire, Dundeal, wasn't overly big himself, and I thought to myself, that's no great surprise. Dundeal wasn't big himself, and he certainly had a big motor, but I've got to admit, when the first day I laid eyes on him, and I think he was too by then, and he is small, I did take a step back and thought, there was no exaggeration. And to say, look, he certainly hasn't grown all the way through at all, but he has muscled up and lengthened, and he's actually a beautiful type of a horse, but just in a mini version of it. So the heart in him and his attitude, he's got a little bit of little man syndrome, so to speak, and I think that carries him a long way.
But that's got to endear him to the racing public, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely. Look, I think everyone, something people can associate with, and just to see it is incredible. Some of the photos you get and some of the footage you see of him, going to the line with horses twice his size, just to show that the will to win, and I think everyone can relate that anything's possible.
Is he a smart horse?
Yes, he is. It was a big ask to take him out to Sydney, something we've never done before. We've never had a runner. You're going the complete opposite direction. Obviously, there's additional travel involved. A couple of people have asked the question, and they've admitted that they thought it might have been a, a bridge too far for the horse, but knowing the horse, I think Scott had admitted, and I felt it myself, that there was no real concern that he couldn't do it. You just had that inner confidence, without it even being discussed, that, you know, you knew if you asked horse to do it, he'd just take it in his stride, and he'd, you know, he puffs his chest out every time he gets off the truck over there. He puffs the chest out and marches straight over the feed bin and sticks it in. So he's just got an incredible constitution, the horse, and he doesn't worry him at all. He's as tough as nails.
Has the realisation gone in yet that you've got a horse that's in a $7 million race, and if he wins, he could pick up over $4 million?
It has. It certainly has. I think the real, when it all really hit, was the Silver Eagle and the Golden Eagle was a dream Scott had a couple of months ago. But it was just that it was a dream that we might get there. But we were under no illusions as to how big a task that would be when we first started talking about it. When the final field came out for the Silver Eagle, and the market was released, and he opened a $3 favourite. I think that was when we all sort of went, oh, this is happening, you know. It all became very, very real all of a sudden. So I think that was the big shock as to how close we were. And then obviously the horse didn't disappoint on Saturday there in the Silver Eagle. And now, look, the beauty of it now is obviously it was a great result on Saturday for the owners, financially and the thrill of the day. And now the horse has come through at a treat, and now it's a little bit of excitement, and we can enjoy heading into this next one. The horse is right. He's in great order. We're going for this fantastic prize money, and the prize money spread of it is all the way through. So it's still crazy money. If second, third, fourth is still absolutely incredible prize money by anybody's standards. So I think we'll go there and enjoy the day. Hopefully the fairy tale comes off, but One thing you know with the horse is he's going to go there and he'll give his absolute best. All great things for Tassie, you know, and the Tassie industry.
Now, Walsh, who helps prepare the racehorse, The Inevitable, for Scott Brunton at 7 Mile Beach. Now, what about the owners? Well, the manager of the syndicate which owns The Inevitable is Richard Robinson, who mixes AFL with horse racing. Richard says it's been an amazing journey for the syndicate members, one of whom is 80 years old.
We went into The Inevitable a few years ago, and we had to get a lot of people in because it was so expensive, because $100,000 is a lot of money for a horse that predominantly raced in Tasmania, so it was a pretty hard sell, but it's worked out all right at the moment.
How many members of the syndicate?
So there's about 7 or 8 in my little syndicate, but there's about 25, 26 owners in total, so there's a lot of us.
Were they all there at the Silver Eagle?
I reckon there was about 10, because a couple of the boys were in a wedding in Adelaide, and a few of our others had other commitments elsewhere. But I reckon there'll be the whole syndicate plus plenty more there in a couple of weeks' time for the Golden Eagle. You go into a horse and you dream that you're going to have a real good one. That's why you keep going in them. I've been in them now for about 10 or 11 years, and you just hope. Like, when you go in, you talk to your mates and say, imagine if this happens, imagine if that happens. We're actually living the dream now.
Did your partner try and talk you out of going into this one?
Funny you say that. The other day she said to me, why didn't I buy a bigger share? So when I try and buy my next one, I'll actually ask and I'll buy a bigger share.
Now, the owners, the various owners in the syndicate, or the members of the syndicate, what sort of people are we looking at here?
Just normal, average people. There's tradesmen. There's guys that... there's a lot of tradesmen involved, but a lot of the people involved are people that we've been connected with through, whether that's playing football with or against them. There's guys that we've gone to school with that are in it. There's a couple of the guys in it who are the fathers of our mates. So there's a guy in it, Michael Cubitt, who's just turned 80, second horse he's ever been in. So it's just nice that there's little storylines within the syndicate, with every little connection that's in there. So, it creates a lot of dialogue. Like, we've got a group chat that's going on, and, when the lead up to the race and after the race, it's all giving, like, it's given Mulga a zest for life, really. Like, he's 80, like, he goes and gets on a plane, goes to Melbourne, goes to Sydney. So, you know, just the amount of phone calls and stuff you get from people that you're friends with who aren't involved with the horse, it's just, he's getting a bit of a cult following, so it's all really exciting.
Now, the name, The Inevitable. you back the inevitable. Is that what it comes from?
Well, Scotty named him, so my history of naming horses, they haven't been able to get out of a maiden class, so I wouldn't have nothing to do with that. So Scotty just rang and said this is what it's going to be called. So
Scotty's the trainer, of course.
Yeah, Scotty Brunton, so Tassie's leading trainer, and he knows horse flesh. But when the horse first arrived at Seven Mile Beach, he actually told us it wasn't here because it was so small. So he was very concerned his old man had wasted $100,000 on a midget. So he wouldn't let anyone come down and see him. So, and then he tried to tell us he looks bigger with a saddle on. So, yeah, but you can't see the size of his heart.
Yeah, he is not what you'd call a big horse, is he? He's not a typical racehorse.
No, there's a picture on social media on the weekend that he looked like the pony, like the lead pony for the horse next to him. So, but as Nash said after the race, Nash Rurilla, who rode him on the weekend, said his strides is twice as big as any other horse. So that's obviously why he can cover the ground so well.
Now, Richard, you have another career involving football?
Yeah, I'm the footy coach of North Hobart in the TSL. So,
what do you tell the boys that you train about, you know, and there is an issue with gambling and lots of money for AFL players, not necessarily in Tasmania, but what do you say to them?
Well, I'll be honest, I don't talk about the punt to any of my players. I just, you know, I coach a lot of young players and you don't want to be impressionable on them and encourage them to be betting, so... I get a few texts from them about the inevitable, like saying well done and stuff like that. So, you know, I think gambling in young people or any age in society is an issue. So it's just something that everyone has to keep a real eye on because, you know, with the smartphones and stuff, people can be betting and you don't even know they're betting. So I just think it's making people aware that you can still have a bit of a punt, but make sure you do it within your means.
All right, mate. Well, good luck with the horse when the big race comes up. Hope it's inevitable that he wins.
Oh, that'd be nice. So we've got 18 more sleeps and, we're counting down every one of them. So looking forward to it.
It's a great story, isn't it? A fabulous story, and hopefully it'll have a proper ending. Richard Robinson, the syndicate manager for the 25 or 26 owners who race the inevitable. I worked it out. If he wins, they'll get about $120,000 each, which is not too bad.